about it.
That's conservative filmmaker and founder of Project Veritas Action, James O'Keefe, speaking about a new series of videos he's released, which he says show that Hillary Clinton's campaign has been sabotaging Donald Trump events. He appeared on Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries yesterday.
So you're telling me all that violence, or a lot of that violence that we're seeing at Trump rallies, is caused by operatives that have been paid for by people working with the Democrat Party and Hillary Clinton?
That's correct. They took credit for a number of the high-profile ones. Chicago, where Trump canceled that event. Remember that?
President Obama's half-brother will be at the third and final presidential debate tonight as a guest of Donald Trump. Malik Obama is a Trump supporter, saying Trump can make America great again. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
The Republican who chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee says he will hold hearings for the next president's Supreme Court nominees, whoever that president is.
If that new president happens to be Hillary, we can't just simply stonewall.
Senator Charles Grassley, Iowa's senior senator, saying his reasons for delaying confirmation hearings in this last year of the president's term will no longer be valid once a new chief executive is sworn into office. Grassley is distancing himself from Republican Senator John McCain's recent comments that all Republicans would be united against any Clinton Supreme Court nominee.
It's an ugly fight, but I will tell you we've seen very good progress.
That's Pentagon spokesman Navy Captain Jeff Davis discussing the continuing fight against ISIS to retake Mosul. The Pentagon spokesman saying ISIS has been using human shields and suicide bombers in the early days of the battle. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
More than 10,000 people believed to have taken part in yesterday's memorial service for two murdered California police officers. Palm Springs Mayor Robert Moon telling the mourners at the service officers Gil Vega and Leslie Zarebny were the best of the best.
You are our heroes, and we deeply appreciate everything you do for all of us.
The two were shot and killed on the 8th of October after responding to a family disturbance call. The suspect, who may have ambushed the officers as they arrived, was arrested after a 12-hour standoff, and he could now face the death penalty. Bad news if you tend to suffer from migraine headaches. Mark Mayfield has details.
Researchers at UC San Diego's School of Medicine have linked the nitrates in red wine, chocolate, and bacon to migraines. The study also found that nitrate-based medications prescribed for heart failure could cause the debilitating headaches.
Yes, Pearl Jam and Tupac Shakur headlining the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's Class of 2017. They are among the 19 acts nominated. CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Greg Harris, says
it's a real diversity of artists on this list, all combined into this ballot, and it reminds us of just how diverse a genre rock and roll is.
Of those 19 acts eligible, five will be chosen based on fan balloting that runs through December 5th. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And good morning and welcome to a new edition of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi and I'm very happy today because I have somebody very interesting in-house for us to talk to. Her name is Sandra Casper and she's the owner of the Garden Gate right here in Flemington, New Jersey. It's a resource I found last year when I was doing a project. We were shooting something for New Jersey Design Magazine and I needed a place to get the pots because we put a big porch on. And I went to Sandra's shop and not only was she so gracious and nice to me, her products were wonderful. Well, let's start and take a look at today's weather and the weather for the week, and then we'll get into our show. Okay, the National Weather Forecast Service is telling me that the forecast is fair skies with 76 degrees. It's going to be hot today, mostly sunny with a high of 83 degrees. Tonight, it's going to be partly cloudy and slight chance of rain with a low of 55. On Thursday, it's going to be a rain day. There's a 50% chance of rain with a high of 70 degrees. On Thursday night, there's a 40% chance of showers with a low of 59. On Friday, another day of showers, 70% chance of showers. I don't like rain on the weekends, do you?
No.
No. Okay, so Friday night, there's a 60% chance of showers. Saturday, good. Saturday, there's going to be just a small chance of showers, and it's going to be mostly sunny and clear with 59 degrees, so definitely cooler. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of 41. And on Sunday, it's going to be a beautiful fall-like day, mostly sunny with a high of 59. So I think we're going to start to really transition to the fall weather. Well, my name is Richard Scuderi, and our program is called Modern Design. We meet here each Wednesday from 10 to 11 live. And, of course, you always have our podcast so you can listen. I'm particularly excited to have Sandra as my guest today. As I said earlier in the broadcast, I found her sort of by accident. One of my longtime clients said, I like the Garden Gate. They're very nice there. And you know what? They really are very nice there because Sandra didn't know me from Adam, and she really went out of her way to help me, and we had beautiful pictures and beautiful pots. So, Sandra, good morning.
Good morning.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Garden Gate, where it's located, and just sort of a history of your place.
Okay. The Garden Gate's located on 101 State Route 31 in Flemington, just across from the high school.
It's a big space. I mean, you have a lot of land in the front, I would say.
Yes.
It's a big lot.
Right, we're set back.
Yeah. But beautiful, beautiful things. Good quality, I thought, stood out. Before we went on today, you were a little early in the studio, and I was talking about the fact that when I went to see you yesterday or 2 days ago, I was amazed at the difference, the vibrancy of your mums. I mean, not including everything else, just the mums. I had popped into Home Depot or Lowe's for a part for something, and I noticed everything in the garden center was dried out in a mess. I had been to the supermarket, and I think a lot of people, for ease, just go to the supermarket because it's the loss leader and they'll buy mums. The mums look awful. They're, like, done already. They're dried out. Your mums look like they came off a truck 2 hours before. They were vibrant. There was more color. They were fresh. Tell us about the difference.
We believe in quality.
Oh, sure.
And We only deal with quality growers, and that's what people want. I believe they want the quality.
And you know what? The price was the same.
The same.
Yeah, the price was the same. And for the same few bucks, you got a gorgeous mum. And just bright, I don't know, brighter colors? Or what's the secret to that? Is it just a lot of watering or care? Is that what it is?
It's the care that goes into them.
Yeah.
You spend a lot of time watering and taking care of them.
It really makes a difference because I could see anything. Even the pictures I took when I was there, I stayed a little bit in the parking lot sort of stalking you. I stayed there and I took some shots of some of your inventory. Your things were better. So I could go to the supermarket and, yeah, get my rations and then shove in a couple of mums and they're going to last maybe a week. The problem is right now that it's unseasonably hot. So it doesn't take long to dry out your mums, does it?
Not at all.
To extend your season, what should someone do once they bring home? Let's say they buy a dozen mums. They really want to make their property look nice, and they buy hay bales, and they want to put it all together. What can they do to extend the life of the mum?
We suggest they water them once a day.
Every day, right?
Every day when they're outside.
And why is that? Because the pot is so contained and it could dry out very quickly?
They do, yes, they do. They really do. Unless they're planted in established roots, they do dry out quickly.
Now, here's the misnomer about mums, and I want to get your take on it. A mum is not an annual. A mum is a perennial. Isn't that true?
It is a perennial.
Right.
If planted early enough that it can grow roots and establish itself.
So in my life experience, I've done this when I remember to do this, but I don't always do this. I will take the mums that I like, and I will, at the end of the season, I will plant them. Sometimes it works out well. Sometimes I find when a mum comes back the second year, it's sort of very leggy and not the same.
That's because you don't know what to do with it.
And that's why I'm with a professional. So tell me, when you buy your mums, let's say you buy a dozen mums, they're gorgeous, they do their thing, and they're only going to have a shelf life of that long. See, I find when I buy mums, if I buy them on Labor Day, I do lots of purples in my house because I have a yellow house, so I do a lot of purples in my gardening. And Labor Day comes, and or my summer flowers are kind of done, and I usually host Labor Day. So I go out early in the season, and I buy yellow mums, yellow and white. And that works with the purple I already have. But I find by October, now we have all the rich colors. When I was driving to studio today, we have all the rich colors. By October, my Labor Day mums are done. I always say you probably have a change twice before Thanksgiving of the mums. Well, is that true, you think?
People don't realize there's probably three stages of mums. There's an early mum, a mid-season mum, and a late mum.
Oh, so
you're buying the early mums, which could be finished.
Oh, right.
Then
right,
if you get
right.
the late mums, they'll last into November.
I had never realized that before. Now, so are early mums necessarily like maybe different colors? You know, when you see a rhododendron, what I learned are an azalea. These plants, based on color, bloom at different times. Like different colors bloom at different times. So if you have white rhododendrons next to sort of a blush, like a red rhododendron, they don't usually bloom at the same time. Is it the same thing with mums and colors that coordinate with early mums and late mums, or is it about the growing?
I think they have all colors in all stages.
Right,
so you can get a yellow in an early, and you can get a yellow in a late. Different names, different kinds.
So let's say you do your mums, you're anxious about the new season, you go out and you do all yellow and white, and it's still sort of summery looking, but it's a mum for Labor Day. How long realistically is that mum going to last?
6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, it's not that long, is it?
No.
Even if you care for it.
Right.
So I would say realistically you're probably going to replace your mums twice, don't you think?
If you do the early ones.
If you do the early
but
mums.
But a lot of people, with the summer, at the end of the season, it cooled off and their flowers look really good, so they weren't ready to do the mums.
I think this year in particular, people put off getting their mums because it didn't look like fall this year. Only this week, it started to look like fall. And then you say, okay, let's go get the oranges. Let's go get, let's get that rich fall look. Let's get some ornamental peppers. We're going to talk about all that stuff and do that. So we're talking a little bit before we went on the air about the history of the Garden Gate. Now, I see that it came about in 1986, and then you guys purchased it when?
We came in 96.
96. So you've had it for quite a long time.
20 years.
How do you find buyers are with plants and landscape stuff now as opposed to then? Do you think it's changed?
A little bit, but the demographics, our customers are getting older.
Right.
And the newer ones are coming in, and they're a little shy of garden centers. They're used to Home Depots.
Right.
But we're winning them over slowly.
Well, that's the thing. These big monster stores pop up, and I think there's a level that we're all very busy, and just while you're getting, toilet paper for 50 people, let's pick up three mums. But you're not necessarily getting quality, and that's a big thing, I think. If you're going to spend the money to do something decorative, you want to have the best that you can possibly have. And there's a clear difference in what you have and then what I see in the big box stores.
And that's why we're there, because we want to bring the quality.
Exactly, exactly. We're going to talk about three areas today. The first is fall decorating. Then we're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving and the Thanksgiving table and some of the ideas I have and you have, because I know you have great ideas. And then we're going to talk about Christmas. One of the things that I had no idea that you did is you do Christmas decorating. And when I was there the other day, I saw beautiful Christmas trees in very unusual colors. And I'm a big fan of Christmas decorations not being red and green per se, but to be part of your decor. So if you have a very contemporary house, I don't see you doing a tree with red and green. Maybe we do a tree and all the ornaments are silver and white because they're streamlined and clean and go with it. Maybe if you have sort of a woodland house with a lot of wood, maybe we do chocolate brown, green, and silver. I like that, and your trees are like that. The trees that you put up, I thought, were very innovative this year. And you do sell ornaments, and I would imagine also artificial trees, correct?
We do. We sell all the artificial trees.
Who knew?
I know.
So do most people just sort of meander through and say, wow, you really have this stuff, or?
As some people find it, you know, because they're in there for something else, and they didn't know we carry it, and other people, word of mouth, has helped us a lot.
The stuff that you have is absolutely beautiful. And when we come back from our first set of commercials, I'm going to go through, starting with fall, of what you have in your inventory, and maybe you can give our clients, our listeners rather, and my clients, some ideas of what to do for the season. We'll be right back shortly with more of Modern Design here on Hunterdon and Chamber Radio.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
A college education, you don't have to go into debt before you even begin.
The actual price of a college education today could cost more than $200,000. Even if you don't qualify for financial need-based assistance, Premier College Funding can help you and your family cut college costs and find efficient ways to pay for college.
Call 908-788-3799 for a free consultation or visit us online at premiercollegefundingllc.com. Getting a college degree doesn't have to break the bank.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we are back with more of Modern Design here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. My name is Richard Scuderi. I've been an interior designer for the past 20 years. I do have a store right here in Flemington at the sort of distressed Flemington Circle, which is coming to an end soon. Not the circle, but just the construction at 1 U.S. Highway 31, Flemington, New Jersey. We are open Monday through Saturday with all sorts of wonderful decorative items, beautiful lamps, pictures, local artists' works, small pieces of furniture. I have a Maitland Smith foyer table that's with wonderful wood inlays that's on sale now for $7.99. Absolutely beautiful. Small pieces of furniture, beautiful mirrors, candles, decorative items. And, of course, we always represent beautiful area rugs, hardwood floors, and everything related to flooring solutions. Maven Hill Designs, 908-884-0770. Well, I'm pleased to have as my guest today. I sort of kind of roped her into it, I think, on Monday, and she's been a gracious guest, Sandra Casper. Do you like to be called Sandy? Because when I asked your name, you said Sandy Casper. And she owns the Garden Gate, which is a beautiful garden center in Flemington, right off Route 31. And we're going to talk about the seasons. Right now, topically, we're in the fall, and we're talking about the fall season, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And as I went through your shop, I saw representatives of different things that you can do. And actually, some of the things were very unusual. So let's start with fall and some of the basics. So I love fall decorating. I can't wait to get into it. I'm sad when I close my pool, but it's just an opportunity to go to the next stage, which is autumnal decorating, both outside and inside. So we did, I think, mums to death that you had lots of different color mums, and they're wonderful. What are some of the other types of plants, if you don't use mums, that you like to put out that you have in your garden center, whether it be ornamental kale or cabbages or things that are a little bit unusual? I like to put beautiful pots together. I will say I've been so busy this year that I have two big cobalt blue pots in front of my store, and I just have an unusual color mum. But typically, I put a lot of things in my pots, ornamental peppers, things that are of interest. You know, Flemington, I think, does a good job sometimes in the town with their pots. Frenchtown does a good job, too, with their pots, probably even better. What are some of the other plants other than mums that people could use for plants in their pots that you like?
Well, for fall, we carry the asters.
Okay. Now, are asters considered a mum, or like an aster mum, or is that actually something different?
It's a perennial. Comes up every year.
They're beautiful. I love the asters because they have that sort of, some of them, not all of them, I guess, have that sort of like blue-purple color to them.
But I don't think they last as long as we'd like them to.
They have a shorter season.
But this year they were great.
But they're striking.
Yes.
Yeah. What else? What other plants?
We have Rudbeckia.
Now, what is that?
It's not the true perennial,
okay,
but it's it comes up from seed, but it's great in the fall. It gives you the yellows, the oranges, the browns.
It gives you all the autumnal colors.
Yes.
What about other plants like kale or cabbages?
Tons of kale and cabbage.
Yeah.
And the colder it gets, the more colorful they get.
You know, I really love them, and I think when you gather them in succession, often they look like roses.
Yes.
Don't you think they look like a beautiful rose head? So I think they're great. Anything else you like to do? I'm seeing a lot this year. Not a lot, but I'm seeing a lot of the center of a pot being that. I used to call them punks. Like, I would remember that when I grew up, there was a pond, and we had those tall things with the brown on them. They kind of looked sort of like a corn stalk. But I think actually they're called cattails.
Well, we have millet.
Okay, millet.
That's what we have for the fall.
Okay.
And they're this long, tall guys.
And they have that brown look to the, and they give some height to a pot. Do you think it's important to have a height to a pot?
I do, yes. Yeah. Creates interest.
Visual interest. And I think you should have levels when you do a pot, that the top, the middle, and then things that trail, don't you think?
They do say the thriller, the filler, and the spiller.
Oh, that's a good one. The thriller, the filler, and the spiller. See, you all learned something today. I'm learning more, I think, than anybody, but that's great. And I like that the three levels of pots. Anything else that's innovative this year that you're seeing?
No, well, we forgot the red grasses. A lot of people use those.
Oh, yeah. I love it. You know, when I opened my store the first year, I was really good. And I went and I got orange Shasta grasses, which were sort of a dwarf. And then it had this beautiful orange grass, which was the height in the middle.
Nice.
I can't even find them this year. And they were great. And I do like to put mums around because I think they're fun and you can change them out. And I like to trail with ornamental peppers. I like to put them in between where the voids are. I don't think they trail per se, but they do kind of, they go towards the edge of the pot. Now, explain something to me about ornamental peppers, because when I said I was doing peppers, people thought I was nuts. And then I had my store opening and people said, where can I get those peppers? I said, the Garden Gate. So tell me about the ornamental peppers. Are they non-edible?
Well, they're ornamental. You shouldn't eat them, I don't think.
Are they tough? I mean, they're going to make
you
sick.
I never ate one.
You know, they're clearly smaller and they're beautiful colors.
They're beautiful. There's 7-8 different kinds we carry.
Yeah, yeah. And they're nice in a pot. I think they lasted, as I recall, very long. They didn't dry out like the mums did.
They do. And the colder it gets, the more colorful they get. But you would have to watch. They would have to come in before a cold, cold frost.
Here's sort of a Hunterdon-centric question that I'll ask you. What plants that you have now for fall decorating are – there's nothing that's deer-proof but deer-resistant. Here's the problem that I have, and I'll tell you what I do, and maybe you can give – our homeowners, again, our show goes nationwide because it's web-based, but people in this area have a big problem with deer. I live in Tewksbury Township. I have a five-acre property. It's wooded. I have a very big problem. I created at the entrance of my driveway sort of two big posts, if you will, that are 6 feet high, then the pot, so that I can have seasonal plants because the deer can't reach them. There are no predators to them. And that's the only way I have consistent color in those spaces, because it's tough. And in Hunterdon County, in many places, it's tough to keep them. My first year, I did my fall decorating. I was having a barbecue in October. It was a beautiful sunny day. I did all the mums. I went to take a shower, and I came back, and all the mums were gone. I mean, within a half an hour. And I thought, what did you do? You know what happened? Did someone prank me? It was that quick, and all my mums were gone. What plants, decorative plants, would you say that are deer resistant, or are there none as far as sort of fall decorative stuff?
Well, it's really hard in the fall because deer like a lot of the things.
And they're real hungry then, too, because they're starting to panic, don't you think?
Yeah, a little bit.
Right.
They don't eat the Rudbeckia.
Okay.
But they do like the mums.
Does a Rudbeckia kind of look like a black-eyed Susan? I'm not sure what a Rudbeckia – yeah, it looks like a black-eyed Susan. Oh, they're beautiful.
Yes.
Okay, they don't eat that?
But what we found is just use the deer spray.
Is there a deer spray that you carry or recommend? I'm going to have to come in and get it.
We definitely recommend it, and we use it every time we get new loads in.
Right.
Because the deer walk up and down our aisles every night.
Oh, do they?
They do.
Even though you have the highway
there.
See, I thought the highway would be a buffer.
They come under the bridge.
You're kidding me. And you have a buffet.
Smorgasbord.
You're putting out a buffet, so it's very difficult. And that's one of the things that disappoints me so much with the fall decorating. I love it. It's not an expensive thing to do. It makes you feel good. If you're entertaining, whether it's a birthday party, you're having friends over, you're going to make a roast on a Sunday, when people come up your driveway and you have your mums done and your pumpkins and your gourds, and it's beautiful.
Yes.
So some of the things that you do that I like also, in lieu of flowers for fall, or maybe in combination with flowers, is I like to use ornamental gourds. I think ornamental gourds are just that. Gourds are gorgeous. They're beautiful. And they don't seem to be so susceptible to deer. Now, I have seen in the end of November, deer take up a pumpkin and put their hoofs through it and then go at it. But for the most part, I guess the ornamental gourds are not that savory and they're hard.
Right.
So they don't use, you know, they don't do them. So after I learned from my experience that you can't just throw mums out there without putting something on them, I got kind of creative with my pots and tried to do some of the other things. So I saw you had some interesting pumpkins and gourds. And you can take, to me, there are certain things you can do that give you seasonal color using what you have but are different. And one of the things that I talked about last week on the show is I like doing stacked pumpkins.
Okay.
And stacked pumpkins is where you get three pumpkins. You get a large pumpkin, a middle-sized pumpkin, and then a very well-formed baby pumpkin with a stem on it. And then what you do is you put dowels through them and sort of skewer them like a shish kebab, if you will. And then usually as an end stage, I like to take bittersweet, which we'll talk about in a minute, and wrap them around where the pumpkins come together. To me, that's a great look. And I do that every year in my pots because I know the deer aren't going to touch them.
That's great.
Isn't that? That's a fun
great.
Idea, I
yes.
think, and they don't touch them. I also like ornamental gourds. If you have a nice black pot or a cement pot, just put beautiful things in. So, I don't know some of the names, and maybe you could tell our listeners some of the names of the gourds that are there, but there's something called turban squashes, which I didn't see this year yet, that have sort of an orangey color to them and purple, and they're beautiful. Any sort of gourds that you think – in past years, I think certain gourds were more popular, maybe because that's what grew. I used to like gooseneck gourds. They look like swans?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the past, we've had so many different kinds, but this year was a very hard year.
Is that why I see
New
less
Jersey.
I see less variety
yes.
of gourds this year than I did before? I didn't see any turban squashes at anywhere I went.
Yeah, Turk's turbans are nice. We did have a few, but they went out quickly. But because of the heat for the summer, they had such a hard time because in the hot heat, they lose their flowers.
Oh.
And then they try and regrow them, and they get another heat wave.
Yeah.
So this year, the crop was
cut way back.
Yes.
So and it's nice because I think gourds have visual interest, plus the variety of color is quite nice.
Yes.
You had a kind of pumpkin. It wasn't a gourd. I guess it was a pumpkin, and you called it something. It almost looked like it had warts on it, but it was very pretty. What were they called?
Knucklehead.
Knucklehead. What are those? Are those pumpkins or gourds?
Truthfully, I don't know. But they have
like
all these
pumpkin.
Funny names, like there's Lunch Lady Gorge.
Oh, my God, really? What else?
And there's there's the Hubbard Squash and Carnival and Baby Boo and Jack B. Little. So there's all the different names.
Another thing I think is that you can try that I've tried before, I sort of I really love beautiful pots in the fall and the winter and visual interest. And I'm sure we'll have you on again. We'll talk about winter pots and what to do for some visual interest. But right now we're still on fall. So I like to take a seasonal fall wreath and put it at the base of a planter and then put ornamental gourds in it or one pumpkin. And that's a nice look, too, that the deer won't touch.
That's
have you
nice
seen
look.
That?
Yes.
It's a beautiful, beautiful look, yes. And I like that a lot. So let's talk about your fall decorating inside. I noticed you had seasonal fall flags.
We do.
What other fall things do you have on the inside?
We have garlands.
Mm-hmm.
We had wreaths. I'm not sure how many are left.
Right.
Fall wreaths and holiday decorations.
Beautiful.
Little pumpkins for your shelf. Excuse me. What else?
Lots of decorative items I saw. I also saw you had beautiful ribbons and fall ribbons, which is nice.
We do wonderfully with ribbon.
Right. Ribbon. You really have beautiful ribbons.
Some people like jewelry. I like ribbon.
I think ribbons are jewelry. You know, when you have a cornstalk, the ribbon is the...
You need a bow.
I don't know. Are you good at tying a bow? Because you know what I liked? I saw that you had two cornstalks on something in the front, and you had the best-looking orange ribbons I have ever seen. Did you do that ribbon yourself? That bow?
My
bows?
My girls did, but we... I'm going to,
you got to have the thing when we go on YouTube where you're going to show us how to make a bow like that. I was like, wow, that wiped me out. That was great. And it's what nice about ribbon is, and I tell people all the time, if you're going to make a bow, like I like corn stalks, and I like at my mailbox or if you have a light post to do a corn stalk, it costs you nothing. But the beauty of it is you take three different types of ribbon. Maybe one is copper, maybe one is orange, and maybe one is chocolate brown, or an adaptation, and you intertwine those and then make a ribbon out of that with trails. That's amazing. You don't need anything else, and that costs you pretty much nothing.
And that makes it.
Right. Now, will the girls there, I should be sexist and say girls, but do the people that work for you will make a bow for you?
They will. Okay. Or I will.
Okay. I think you're going to regret that because I'm going to be saying, okay, make me my ribbons because that's what I need. Beautiful things. A couple things I wanted to talk, and then we'll transition a little bit to Thanksgiving and then Christmas because I want to really focus on Christmas. Couple things that I've used before that I've had problems with, not from you, but just in general because of the predators that are out there that are very hungry now, is Indian corn. And I used to like to put Indian corn on my mailbox because it's very colorful. And I learned very early on when I left in the morning, I had my Indian corn with my bow and I came home and it was just husks that... You probably shouldn't use Indian corn in the Hunterdon County. I didn't even see any of it in your store. Do you sell Indian corn?
We had it. The deer like that too. And the squirrels.
I don't know. Yeah, it was I
maybe
think
a spray.
I think it was the squirrels. One time I put them on my front door, and when I opened the door, there was a squirrel hanging off of it. So I said, no more Indian corn. But I'm sad because I really like the way it looks. So sometimes I do seasonal decorating for people, and I do cornucopias. I'm going to talk about that next for Thanksgiving tables and some of the things that you have that you can use for your Thanksgiving table. I like to use natural elements for my Thanksgiving table, so we'll talk about that. Corn stalks is something we just talked about. You carry corn stalks.
Corn stalks.
And I think they're great for height. I think if you have a mailbox post, I think they're great to wrap around a mailbox post in the back with a beautiful ribbon, and you carry beautiful ribbons. We talked a little bit about punks or cattails, you know, something in the center. So you told us about grasses.
The millet and the grasses.
Millet. So yes. Is millet sort of like a grain? Because when I think of millet, I think it's a grain, right?
What's in the bird seed? The
okay.
Little
oh,
seed,
that's what millet is. Yes,
but
yes.
But the plant is beautiful.
The plant is beautiful. It's usually like sort of a chocolate brownish color and has nice tails and it's long and has visual interest, which is very nice. And we talked a little bit, you said the Rebecca is a good deer resistant plant. Anything else that would probably be somewhat deer resistant to put in our fall pots?
The cabbage and the kale, they don't eat that.
Yeah, no.
But they do eat the pansies, and we forgot to touch on the pansies.
That, believe it or not, and you have extra, unless you have X-ray vision, and we're in a studio here where she can't see, my next thing is I discovered, which is sad on my part because my job is to bring you listeners and my clients always fresh and innovative ideas. I totally stole this from Lisa Winter, my neighbor, who's a great gardener. I looked at her pots one day, and she has these old, beautiful she's going to kill me because I said her name on the air. Old, beautiful pots that were cement, and they have moss on them, are gorgeous. And she put in orange and purple panties in October. And I thought, this is the best looking thing I've ever seen in my life.
You know what else you could add?
What?
Swiss chard.
Swiss chard. Old,
it looks wonderful. It gives you the height and pansies around the bottom.
Amazing.
And it
lasts, so the height is the Swiss chard.
And it lasts through the winter.
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that I love when it's unusual and people say, what is that? It's kind of a nice thing. I'm going to write that down for myself, so Swiss chard. Now, I didn't see them because I was looking for pansies, but you do carry pansies?
We do.
Yeah. I love orange pansies. I like when they're just solid orange or they have the sort of that black in them.
We have the black.
And I like the combination of orange and purple together.
Yes.
That's a great idea for people. So that was on my list. And then we talked about the care of moms. And the shelf life of changing things out. All right, we're going to take a quick news break. I'm going to do a short news break, and then we'll be back with Thanksgiving centerpieces and then Christmas. We'll be back shortly after these messages. And see you in a moment.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Obama's half-brother Malik Obama, a Donald Trump supporter, and Pat Smith, whose son Sean died in the 2012 attack on the U.S. compound in Benghazi, will be the Republican nominee's special guests at this evening's final presidential debate in Las Vegas. Democrat Hillary Clinton's guests, Hewlett-Packard CEO Meg Whitman and billionaire Mark Cuban. Political expert Dr. Sean Forman saying he expects Clinton to again play it safe.
She seems to have been doing that the last couple of weeks, almost like she's trying to run out the clock to Election Day.
Conservative filmmaker James O'Keefe releasing new videos showing that Hillary Clinton's campaign's been sabotaging Donald Trump events.
It's the smoking gun. It's high-level officials. They're connected to the White House, and they say that Hillary's been briefed about it.
That's O'Keefe on yesterday's Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries. This is USA Radio News.
When you need to keep a business running, or a school, or a bakery, or an HVAC shop, or an auto body garage, a cleaning service, a locksmith, a contractor, a property management company, a restaurant, a grocery store, a dry cleaner, a hotel, a moving company, a hospital, or pretty much anything. You want Grainger. Grainger has the products and solutions to help a growing business succeed. Whatever you need, whenever you need it. Grainger's got your back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Let's talk about power. To illustrate this, allow me to tell you a story about how I moved a tow truck 25 miles using only my index finger. I was stranded with a flat tire. I opened the GEICO app. Then, with a few taps of my finger, I beckoned emergency roadside assistance and a tow truck to my car. I invite you all to unleash the full potential of your fingertips with the GEICO app. Thank you.
The Democratic presidential ticket ended up being Clinton Kane, as in Tim Kaine, but it could have been Clinton Gates, as we hear from USA's Joe Gomez.
The latest set of WikiLeaks releases is showing the list of people Hillary Clinton's campaign was considering as possible running mates. Apple CEO Tim Cook, Bernie Sanders, and Bill Gates are among the list of nearly 40 names released by WikiLeaks.
President Obama on the campaign to liberate the city of Mosul in Iraq from ISIS.
I am confident that just as ISIL's been defeated in communities across Iraq, ISIL will be defeated in Mosul as well, and that will be another step towards their ultimate destruction.
The Pentagon says the battle for Mosul could take months, but the first couple of days have gone very well. An American astronaut and two Russian cosmonauts on their way to the International Space Station, NASA's Shane Kimbrough and those Russians lifting off overnight from Russia's Space Launch Center in Kazakhstan. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
An economic report just out showing construction got underway on fewer homes last month. The Commerce Department reporting housing starts tumbled 9% from August to a rate of 1.05 million. That's the lowest housing starts have been since March of 2015. Groundbreakings for apartments and condos fell sharply, but starts jumped 8.1% when it comes to single-family houses. and building permits, which are seen as an indication of future activity, did increase 6.3% to their highest level in 10 months. New concerns being expressed about a high-tech tool being used by police. Here's Doug Parrish with more.
A new study says half of all adults in the U.S. are already in some sort of facial recognition network that's available to law enforcement agencies. The ACLU wants the Justice Department to investigate the use of facial recognition technology, saying that it violates the rights of millions of Americans and has a disproportionate effect on minorities.
Do you heat with natural gas? Because a senior analyst with the American Gas Association says...
We're expecting prices to be nationally about 10% higher than what they were last year, which is primarily in part because it's expected to be a little colder than last year.
Brendan O'Brien saying production of natural gas is stable and there's ample underground storage, so no supply disruptions are anticipated, but a colder winter that's expected will cause prices to be up a bit from last year. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Rich Kaderi. We do our program here live every Wednesday from 10 to 11 at the CenturyLink building in Flemington. My guest today happens to be Sandy Casper, who is the owner of the Garden Gate, a wonderful garden center in Flemington, New Jersey, off Route 31. Sandy, why don't you give our listeners your phone number?
Yes, it's 908-788-4255.
Wonderful. And I also think you have a page on Facebook?
We do.
Yeah. Just check out the Garden Gate on Facebook. Great stuff. Okay, so we talked before the news break about fall decorating outside. I want to touch on Thanksgiving a little bit. One of the things as a designer that I do is I do event designing. So if somebody's having a party or they're hosting a holiday, they'll come to me and say, do something interesting. So what I like to do for Thanksgiving as well as other events is I'll go to somebody's china cabinet, if they still have a china cabinet. These days everything's getting more and more casual. And I'll look for something as a base. I'll look to see if they have any amber glass. I'll look to see if they have some English transferware, which is brown and white, or a beautiful white container. And then I'll go to a place like the Garden Gate, and I'll go to a garden center like you and look for some natural elements to decorate the table, the center, the sideboard, those types of things. So one of the things that I like to do is for a Thanksgiving, whether it be on the sideboard of the table, is to create a cornucopia. And a cornucopia is basically just a horn, if you will, that's made of, rattan or wicker.
Wicker, probably.
Right.
Or grapevine.
Right. And I like to take those and I like to use elements for the center of the table or the sideboard. I just did one for a client in a library, and I wanted to make it a little different. I had the cornucopia form, and I filled it with Granny Smith green apples and feathers, brown feathers. And I tell you, that sounds kind of strange. What a beautiful look, but something beautiful for a sideboard. Another thing I like to do is take some of the beautiful different gourds you have and take a soup tureen and put a soup tureen on your sideboard and fill it with different ornamental gourds. Great idea. Same thing holds true for a sideboard or a table. Mini pumpkins. I noticed you had mini pumpkins there. If you stack mini pumpkins in a beautiful vessel that you already have, brings a lot of color, a lot of texture to the table, and really good looking. Let me ask you a question. Can you take a mini pumpkin and sort of shellac it or do something to it where you can use it from year to year, or do the insides of the pumpkin, I'm talking about mini pumpkins which are concentrated, or do they rot?
Some do, but they might stay because we've taken them and we haven't really kept them over a year, so I don't know.
Right.
But you can spray them gold.
Right.
Pumpkins look great sprayed gold.
Exactly. One of the things that I had talked about in last week's broadcast is that you can take your natural elements and you can embellish them. So some of the things that I think you can do which would be nice on a table, let's say you have these days the millennials and some of us have more of a contemporary setting. You can take something like a couple of wonderful pumpkins on your table. You can put a runner down, and you could silver leaf them. And you have silver
yes.
pumpkins now. You don't want to eat them. You don't want to cook with them. But that's a wonderful look. Gold leafing a pumpkin, terrific. I did that for a storefront, actually, about a month ago up in Chatham. And I did her store window, and I gold leafed all the pumpkins. They looked beautiful. Copper. Copper is a great color to do your pumpkins in. So maybe on your sideboard, you'll just do a couple of pumpkins on a plate or just on the sideboard, and then do something interesting with the finish with the pumpkins. Again, stacked pumpkins are nice to do inside as well. If you have the space to do it, you can create something. But I think creating visual interest for a Thanksgiving table is nice, and you could use elements that are not necessarily traditional. I like the idea you gave before we went to the commercial break about using Swiss chard. I thought that was kind of a neat thing to do.
Yes.
I do like to incorporate vegetables sometimes in arrangements and so on. Do you ever take your mums that are left over? Do you ever cut them and then use it as a floral arrangement? I was at somebody's house for Thanksgiving, and she had a beautiful centerpiece. And she says, you know what I did? I had my mums for the season, but I was switching over to Christmas, and I was going to throw them out. So on Thanksgiving Day, I cut my mums, and she said I put them in a beautiful bowl and a vase. And that was her centerpiece.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I thought that was really great. If you're not going to keep them, you're not going to plant them.
Right.
And they're still they're still vibrant to it.
Right.
There's something else that I like to use for either a foyer entrance or a sideboard or a table at Thanksgiving is, now I'm going to forget the name of it, coxcomb.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't seen coxcomb in a while. I sort of describe it as it looks like sort of velvet lasagna noodles. It has sort of a funny shape to it. You see it most often in like a burgundy, but I've also seen it in gold.
Reds, oranges.
Reds and oranges. Yes. It's very autumnal. It's very beautiful looking. And I think that can be very nice for an arrangement. Again, your ornamental gourds or your small ornamental gourds. I like to, if you have a fireplace and you're decorating for Thanksgiving, I like to buy at the end of the season what's left over of your ornamental gourds, and then I like to sort of stack them up in between things on a mantle. I think that's kind of nice. Now, you were saying you have some fall you have some fall garlands.
Fall garlands.
What do they look like? What do they
leaves
have on them?
Leaves or berries, just the fall colors.
Right. Now, are most of them artificial?
Artificial, yes.
You know what's kind of a good idea is if you have, let's say you start with a base, which is one of your garlands, and you have a mantelpiece, you can start with a base with your one that's artificial, and then you can embellish it with natural elements like the gourds or mini pumpkins.
We could also use a Christmas artificial garland and mix the leaves in with it. It gives you a bigger base.
Right, and then you have a nice chunky base. And that's a great look because you can nestle candles into that. I would suggest probably battery-operated candles.
Oh, yeah.
But you can nestle candles into that. And when you're entertaining that day, that's something you don't have to maintain.
Right.
And that's very much a great look. Any ideas of maybe some of the elements you have or things you have for like a Thanksgiving table or a sideboard? Any ideas or things you've seen or tried that you like?
No, we do have the battery-operated candles look wonderful.
Aren't they great?
And I just love the color and texture of all the gourds, the Indian corn. You
right.
pile them up.
Right.
You know, bring in some twigs from outside.
I think people are afraid, Sandy, they're afraid to bring the outdoor elements in. And
oh.
I think specifically for the Thanksgiving entertaining, you know, Christmas is, you know, there's different religions, so not everybody celebrates Christmas and Easter. Not everybody celebrates Easter. And then, of course, there's Jewish holidays and different holidays. But Thanksgiving is an American holiday, so everybody in our country celebrates Thanksgiving. It's a big deal. So I think there's lots of different ways that you can and colors you can bring to the table for Thanksgiving that are interesting and innovative. And why not do Indian corn on your sideboard? It looks great.
Oh, yeah.
When you cluster things like in a cornucopia or in a basket, outside my front door, I have a big fall basket, and I have some fall fabric in it, and I put different gourds and elements in it, sort of like a harvest gathering, and that's just terrific. And all you have to do is get those elements, which are really not expensive, are they?
No, not at all.
And especially when you get to the end of season, like November, and then gather what's left and put it together. And that itself can be wonderful. If you put it in a glass vessel, it could be wonderful.
And
now, I noticed
you have a nice bow on it.
Yeah. Well, you'll make the bow for us. And then I see that you have the battery-operated candles, and I just can't say enough about them. The thing I will say about the battery-operated candles is, if you enclose them in a vessel, whether it be just a little piece of glass or a lantern, I think they even look more real. Don't you?
Oh, I love them. And
yeah.
The lanterns. We have a lot of lanterns.
Right.
Yes.
So if you're doing a table piece or a sideboard, if you take some of your battery-operated candles and then you put them in a vessel, in a lantern, and then just have maybe some random gourds around, that's all you need.
That's all you need.
It has height. It has visual impact, and so on. All right, we're going to do our last set of commercial messages, and then we're going to move on to Christmas. Okay.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambie's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambie's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambie's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
And we are back with Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. My guest today happens to be Sandy Casper, the owner of the Garden Gate in Flemington on Route 31. Sandra, why don't you give your phone number again if people want to check you out?
It's 908-788-4255.
And you're at 101
State Route 31.
Route 31.
Between the circle and the department store.
Great, great. All right, so in our remaining time, which goes by so quickly, we have about 6 minutes. I want to talk about Christmas, which is not enough time for Christmas, but we're going to talk about
Christmas.
It. Christmas, you know, the Garden Gate, I could say, is your Christmas resource because I saw beautiful, sophisticated, and unusual things. Tell me about how you got involved in Christmas. Was it the first year you were doing Christmas, or over time did it evolve? Because you have tons of stuff in there already.
We always did it. It just took a while to let people know that we had so much Christmas.
Tell me about what you purchased for this Christmas, because I saw unusual colors in some of the trees you were putting up. I saw lots of sort of bluey silver colors and some lavenders and some things that were quite striking and beautiful. So tell me, when you do your buying for the season, like what was the inspiration?
Every January we go to Atlanta.
Okay. Is that the gift show?
It's a gift show, buying show.
Right.
And we do most of our buying for Christmas actually then. It's
in January.
Fresh on your mind.
Right.
We get to see what they're showing, what's new, what's hot, what's coming. And it's great. We love it.
Sandy, we're going to pick your brain. So when you went to the show in January of this year, what were some of the things that you were seeing that we could be sort of one up when we do our Christmas decorating this year? Were there things that you saw that were unusual, the colors different, textures? What were you seeing for Christmas decorations?
Different things, some the same.
Okay.
You see more chalkboard.
Chalkboard.
You see a lot of birch and burlap.
Right, lots of natural elements,
Lots of natural, definitely. Mm-hmm. Natural's hot, yeah.
Did you see any Christmas garlands that you thought were different or unique?
Can't recall that, but...
What about colors for trees?
We're always looking for different colors.
Right.
We don't do everything just red.
Right.
There's a lot of red in there, but the reds and golds. But we do theme trees. So we try and give a different look to each tree, and that might spark an interest from one person.
Exactly. And I think I always say in doing your decorating, there's nothing worse when somebody has a certain style house and then they put up their Christmas ornaments. I won't say who it was, but I have a client in Hunter County that had a big contemporary house, very sleek and very modern. And then I came in, you know, one December day and they had put up their Christmas tree and it was very red and green and berries. It looked terrible. And even though it was a big tree, it looked terrible. I think the whatever your style is, whatever you surround yourself with, you would want to incorporate that in your decorating. And if you have a sleek, modern room, you would want your tree to reflect that, your wreaths to reflect that. If you have a contemporary house, do a white wreath that's all white, or do white feathers on the inside, or you know, do silver. Or mercury glass, or things that have a clean, modern element to them. And that would be reflective, I think, in your trees. Right. So, and the same thing's true if you have sort of a woodland house, then you'd probably want to add birch elements to your trees and greens and natural things and so on. Definitely. And I think, yeah, one of the prettiest colors I've – and I do full Christmas decorating for people, I should say, and I do a lot of store windows. One of the colors that looks best on a Christmas tree is purple. I've used purple on a Christmas tree with the lights. I've done purple, gold, and green. Unbelievable how purple looks on a Christmas tree.
I love it.
Love it. And blue. I love blue on a Christmas tree. And that's probably the color that people would think of least of doing it. You do. I am a big fan of solid, of colored lights, but I don't like mixed colored lights because I think they detract from the ornaments.
Right.
So I like colored lights, but I like them to be one solid color. So I've done trees with all red lights, mini red lights, absolutely gorgeous. I've done trees all green. In the library of my house, I have a sort of a brown mahogany library. And at Christmas time, I take my garlands and I wrap my garlands around all mini green lights. Looks amazing together because you have the green and the brown. Blue is wonderful for that. But going with a color, I think, makes things not only unusual but sort of striking, don't you think?
Definitely.
What colors do you personally like to put on Christmas decorating?
Burgundies. We do burgundies.
Burgundies are very rich.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And for years, not a lot of burgundy was showing up. It's finally coming back.
Back, yeah. No, I like the rich burgundies.
I like the earthy ones, the browns, the tans, the you know, stuff you don't think of. But
I think there's just so many things you can do with a tree, and it should be reflective. I mean, I did a project down the shore. We did a Christmas tree. We used a blue spruce, and we did starfish. We did elements of sort of teal and sort of an apricot orangey color. It was gorgeous. It was reflective. And then I like to carry that element of what's in the tree to the gifts that are wrapped underneath. And I have a little secret. I always go buy extra ribbon and wrapping paper that coordinates with the tree. So after your, because you know what happens, Christmas Day comes or Christmas Eve and you open all your presents. But typically people continue to entertain in their home until after the first or second of the year, so then the tree looks terrible. So I do mock presents, actually, in addition to the regular presents. And I keep those from year to year wrapped with, like, ribbon, like you have gorgeous ribbon, but in the theme of the tree, so there's a consistency. Do you ever see a tree that's done in a theme and then the wrapping paper fights it?
Okay, yes.
So there's continuity there. Do you sell wrapping paper? I know you have the best bows of the ribbon I've ever seen.
We used to, but we don't now.
You know what? We're coming up to our end of our segment. I think this went so fast. I'd love to get you back again to talk specifically about Christmas,
definitely.
If we have you calling. This went so quickly. You're such a resource. Just one last time, give us your phone number for the Garden Gate.
It's 908-788-4255.
Oh, Sandy, thank you so much for being my guest today. Tune in next Wednesday. We're going to continue our series of fall decorating and great ideas. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and supporting Modern Design, and I'll see you next Wednesday right here in Flemington. Thanks, and have a wonderful week, everybody. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Obama's half-brother Malik Obama, a Donald Trump supporter, and Pat Smith, whose son Sean died in the 2012 attack on the U.S. compound in Benghazi, will be the Republican nominee's special guests at this evening's final presidential debate in Las Vegas. Democrat Hillary Clinton's guests, Hewlett-Packard CEO Meg Whitman and billionaire Mark Cuban. Political expert Dr. Sean Forman saying he expects Clinton to again play it safe.
she seems to have been doing that the last couple of weeks, almost like she's trying to run out the clock to Election Day.
Conservative filmmaker James O'Keefe releasing new videos showing that Hillary Clinton's campaign's been sabotaging Donald Trump events.
It's the smoking gun. It's high-level officials. They're connected to the White House, and they say that Hillary's been briefed about it.
That's O'Keefe on yesterday's Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries. This is USA Radio News.
When you need to keep a business running, or a school, or a bakery, or an HVAC shop, or an auto body garage, a cleaning service, a locksmith, a contractor, a property management company, a restaurant, a grocery store, a dry cleaner, a hotel, a moving company, a hospital, or pretty much anything, you want Grainger. Grainger has the products and solutions to help a growing business succeed. Whatever you need, whenever you need it. Grainger's got your back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Let's talk about power. To illustrate this, allow me to tell you a story about how I moved a tow truck 25 miles using only my index finger. I was stranded with a flat tire. I opened the GEICO app. Then, with a few taps of my finger, I beckoned